Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
All right. So good morning, everyone. I'm calling you from Portland, Oregon. And so I've been learning a lot about blood pressure. And so I thought I would share some of the things. I think that, first of all, before we start the blood pressure, I would like to tell you that you have called if you... I cannot see a list of who is on the call. So if you're new, we are, our health style mission is to help share some information with others that will help to be able to, you to be able to better control your health and better have health. And particularly, we are teaching on this call about inflammation and anti-inflammation. So I don't have the slides of the regular 10 points that we usually have, and the pH that makes a big difference in your anti-inflammation. Mary Lou, maybe we should start with a little bit of your story of what has happened with your health that has been such a difference in your blood pressure.
Okay. Well, I... went to the neurologist a couple days ago, and I was quickly taken into the room and sat down, and she said, okay, we're going to take your blood pressure and pulse. And I thought, oh, brother, because I wanted to have a chance to kind of relax. I was afraid it would be sky high. And she took my blood pressure, and it was 118 over 70. And I was just blown away. Because, well, you know, and some of the others on this call know that that's the main concern that I've had since we started this program, and I had just made up my mind the first of the year that this was going to be the healthiest year of my life, and the doctor was amazed. He, my cholesterol's come down, as I shared with you, 26 points, I think, and now my blood pressure has dropped a good 20 points. And the funny thing was, when we went on vacation a couple weeks ago, well, when you were in, you were gone as well, and the people that we went with, he takes 3 blood pressure medications, and so he had his blood pressure machine with him. And so I thought, well, I'll see how my blood pressure is doing. And it was low then, not as low as it was at the doctor's office, but I asked him, I challenged him, I said, have you had this checked with your doctor, you know, because I was sure that... he had a bad machine. But anyway, no. And so when I came home, I tried it on my own was reading this, you know, was reading real close to arts. And so I was very excited. And the thing that really stuck in my mind the most, the doctor made me feel really, really, really good. He asked me what I was doing. I said I changed my eating. I was trying to eat more alkaline, tried to reduce the inflammation in my body. I was walking, had dropped a little bit of weight, and he just looked at me, and he just beamed. He said, you know, most people won't do what you're doing. I mean, just kind of like shook his finger at me. He said, this is just amazing. He was just really pleased. He made me feel so good. So, boy, oh, boy, I know we're on the right track.
You should be on the right track. Good job, Mary Lou. Walking 3 miles a day doesn't hurt anything either.
No.
I think that helped a lot, and just doing that extra walking. How long does it take you to walk 3 miles?
If I don't stop and visit with people, right around a little short of an hour. But we're actually walking now like about 3.6. That takes about an hour.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much. Good job. So today what I wanted to do is... gather together some motivation for people, and particularly, of course, our son, Matt, who is in the hospital here, who has had a small stroke, but he has had many strokes in the past. And yesterday when we met with one of the specialists, she said that Matt's brain was the worst, most diseased brain she'd ever seen in anybody of his age. So I made these partly for everybody to see and to motivate everyone, but also to show the Matt and hope that I can motivate him to change his eating, his his habits, exercising habits, to be able to maybe heal. He's young enough, maybe his brain can heal up. And he is very, very blessed. And he said that in his own words, that none of the strokes have been in a critical area. He has, you can't tell that he's had a stroke if you're looking at him. And so, let me see how I'm changing these slides. I know I must be able to change them here.
Yeah, forward key on your laptop. Little forward arrow should do it.
Yeah.
Or the up and down arrow.
I'm not doing it. But
it's not doing it.
Yeah.
And maybe you have to go out of all, go back out of full screen.
I hope not. I don't want to have to go in and out. Usually I have a little, here we go, maybe this.
How about the thing up at the top?
That's what I'm looking at.
Just try hitting enter and see what happens.
Yeah.
Enter? Enter?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You've got to have it placed. Usually we have one, don't we, Lulu? Sorry, you guys. Maybe I'll have this key. Okay.
There you go.
This is just a picture of the different parts of the brain. That was very colorful. We're not going to stay very long on some of these slides. This is just a picture for us to understand. If we get a stroke in one of these parts, what will be happening? Matt's stroke is back here in the vision area, and one of the nerves in his right eye has been affected, and so his vision is fine, except that his eye doesn't move properly, and so gets double vision because his left eye works fine, but the right one doesn't turn to the left or the right when the left one does. And so that's his problem. This one is another one that shows again what the different parts of the brains are a little bit more, but a little bit fuzzy. And so I'll let you guys look up the brain and see the different parts if you're interested. I'll let you do that on your own. I thought it was interesting to know about, you know, you're picturing your brain, but I've never pictured it with all these blood vessels in it. I know it has blood vessels in it. It has to be fed. Has to receive oxygen, can't do that if it's blocked, has to get the blood in all parts of the body and not be spreading, having any of the blood vessels break. And so we've really got to take good care of our brain. This one is interesting. This is a picture of what the blood pressure is. And if I make it bigger, then it is more blurry. So the blue part here is the low blood pressure. That would be 80 over 60, and the normal then is no higher than 110 over 80, and then the normal, that was a normal, pre-high blood pressure is no higher than 130 over 90, and then high blood pressure is no higher than 170. And that's kind of a yikes, over 100. And so what Matt went in with a 220 over, I don't know exactly what, over 100. So it was beyond the high blood pressure. He had stopped taking his blood pressure meds because he didn't have enough money to buy, the money that he had to buy them with, he used to pay some of his other bills. And hopefully he's learned that not to do that. Blood pressure is a measurement of force applied to the artery walls. That's just the basic, it's a nice, good, clear picture there. Appreciated that. I'm not sure how that measures, but why is it, how does it become abnormal? What causes it to become abnormal? The systolic pressure, the top number, is measured when blood is being pushed, and the diastolic pressure is when your heartbeat ends in a resting, when the heartbeat is between beats. Okay, and so you can see that down here at this end of the, you guys can't see, my pointer is not hooked up, is it? I mean, Meredith, can you can't do the pointer. Okay, the left-hand side over here where it says normal is normal. Pre-hypertension over here is thinning in the middle, and over here, look how thick the walls have gotten with plaque buildup, and that is a hypertension. Okay, and then, so this is what your face might look like if you have a stroke. Many times it affects people's face and their speech, and so then the words come out all garbled and sometimes completely confused, and then the one side of the mouth droops down. And then the brain, this is a brain scan, as you can see, and see these white areas, and I'll do this maybe again from home when I can control my pointers and everything.
We see your point. We can see your arrow, though, Ruth.
Oh, you can? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's right. What it does with the... I forgot it does that with the desktop. Okay, so here around that white is an area of damage. Do you have any questions at this point? Not that I'm an expert. I certainly am not. But I certainly learned a few things yesterday that I didn't know.
Is that that is where the damage is? Show us what damage is.
This.
Okay.
Is that white? Okay. So Matt's had it all over here. It was just some long-term damage. But it was sort of cloudy like this, and so I wondered if it can be healed. It was just sort of damage. Damage. It wasn't a stroke, but it had this light white colors. There are other little dark places that were the stroke places, and I don't know how the difference is there exactly. And so another thing that will happen when you have a stroke is you'll have memory loss and confusion. And so you probably won't be able to function very well. You'd have to be in a care unit or something like that. So here, I believe in this picture, are some of the little damaged stroke spots where it's really caused the bleeding into the brain. Here's an aneurysm right here. Matt has one of these about right here on the side of his brain where this is showing us. And so then you have to come up here and they're going to be trying to tie that off. This is about four millimeters, I believe. It's wider than the width of the blood vessel. And then this is a picture of when the aneurysm has burst, and so then, of course, this area of the brain will all be affected. And here's a blood vessel, and then the blood is all around in here. Without treatment, that says here, the high blood pressure can lead to a stroke, blood vessel damage in your heart, arterial sclerosis, and then some kidney damage, and then lead to kidney failure. This is a normal brain on this left side here on the top, and then here you can see again on the top of this brain on the right, the white anatomy with hypertension, so just white, some kind of, I'm not sure exactly of that damage, and later maybe we'll study into this a little bit more. How many people go and look and see what it's going to look like when you have a brain damage? See the damage in the kidney, and then the thickening of the walls in the heart, and the ventricles now are small, and so they don't have any room for the blood to go in and feed it even. Anybody knows more about anything on one of these pictures and you'd like to speak up and say a little bit, then that would be good. Again, here's a blood vessel. Here's a atherosclerosis, and these blood vessels build up, and pretty soon you get the blood slows down in here so much that you're going to get a clot. That's what happened to Dennis, as you guys know. here's just a picture of what's going on in your brain. I'm not sure why I have that in this place when it's not up there where the other was. I guess I was getting a little sleepy by the time I finished this. And there, here's another example of the blood vessel and the plaque, and this is what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to prevent this with our the way that we eat, with the supplements we take. Some of this plaque sometimes is a fatty buildup, and sometimes it's an infection, inflammation buildup. And so, if we change our diet, it can diminish. And sometimes it's a calcium buildup because you don't have a good transportation system in your body, and so your plaque builds up, your calcium builds up in your blood vessels. It doesn't get to your skeleton like it's supposed to, and so that's why we take the osteodense, is to get the calcium that builds up. We'll even take it and remove it from your blood vessel and take it up to your skeletal system, into your skeletal system, to be processed and utilized properly by your body. And when our transportation system diminishes, some of this is what is going to be happening. One reason why blood pressure, one of the reasons why blood pressure may come down, also the calcium availability will also cause your body to be of a healthier pH so that you don't have inflammation occurring abnormally. One of the comments in the slides that I was collecting was obesity is proven to cause brain damage. And so I guess this is a picture of the white part that I was showing you on the brain before, only they just somehow made this colored slide. But obesity is going to affect it, affect your body. And so it would be a good idea to get out and really set the goal and lose the extra weight as fast as possible. And one of the methods for treating high blood pressure to protect the heart, the brain, and the kidneys is with these anti-inflammatory foods that help to change the diet. And, of course, if you've been on this call very long, you'll know that that's a lot of what we eat. We can mix them up with a little bit of grains. We can have a little bit of fish. But basically, we're going to be eating these fruits and vegetables, and we have found that they are just very, very delicious. We can find them in all different kinds of ways. Blueberries here in this little side picture was particularly mentioned for lowering blood pressure. Well, I'm glad I've got all those blueberry pictures of blueberry plants in my garden. Okay, there goes Mary Lou. She's exercising more than 30 days a minute a day, and it will help you lose weight, which can lower your blood pressure. And, you know, she's doing that for 30 days, but look at the results that Mary Lou and Larry got from hiking around for an hour a day. Is your health worth it? I'm saying this to myself as well, so I also have a problem with the blood pressure. And that's my main goal as well, is to lower my blood pressure. And I have, mine has also come down. I'm now in the pre-hypertensive on a pretty regular basis. I've been using the progesterol, I've been exercising, and I've been not hiking as much as Mary Lou is, but I'm thinking I might go around to it. This is a little bit of a different thing. This is about, see this little is excessive glutamate release, and it affects our neurons. And I'm not sure what these pictures are down here, but came together with this one so I couldn't take them out. Well, I could, but I didn't take them out yet. I don't understand exactly what they're doing. Maybe I'll be able to see it well enough with my bigger computer. I'll be able to know what it is. But so we don't want our neurons in our brain all killed off. So we want to stay away from glutamate. And so we have on our, usually we have a glutamate picture on one of the slides, all the things. And this is the brain. And other things that can affect your brain are drugs. This is from
methamphetamine.
Thank you. Methamphetamine. I could not remember how to say that. This is normal control, and look at this has got lots of lots here for the methamphetamine. And then here's one with cocaine-affected brain. And there's probably a lot more we could find about that, but that was my main point today. This is a marijuana one, and I'm going to want to look that up a little bit and see how it affects it. It just shows the receptor sites, and but I'm not sure how it's affected it. And this is just a picture of the glands, a couple of really nice, clear slides that we can learn more about, maybe. And the more we learn about our brain, the more we'll know how important it is to protect it and to do whatever it does to be healthy, because nobody wants to go through life incapacitated. So what's your poison? And all these cigarettes have all different kinds of things in them, chemicals. When you smoke, you inhale up to 4,000 chemicals, including all these that I can't really read too well. We can look at that, something we might look into a little bit later. This is a slide that seemed to be about water and getting enough water into your brain, which is important. Another thing that people might consider in helping if they are having a problem is acupuncture to lower the blood pressure. And I've talked to several different people who have had great success in helping to lower their blood pressure, at least for a short period of time, with acupuncture. And now, look at that. That's a healthy brain, and this is a severe Alzheimer's disease. That is really, really enough to scare you into a healthy diet and healthy activities. Alcohol ravages all parts of your brain, and there's this pictures that show that. This one happens just to be some another good view of how the plaque builds up in the blood vessels. So here's a little picture of a lady who seems to be under pressure, and we allow ourselves so much stress and so much pressure, and this is a big part of Matt's problem too, is so sensitive and concerned about different things that sometimes his blood pressure just goes up because he's sensitive that way. And he is a sweetheart. He never wants to hurt anybody's feelings or anything and do anything wrong. And so if he does anything wrong, I'm sure that causes him a lot of stress or things that might not be acceptable or whatever. So here's a thistle they had. And the milk thistle, or the thistle, is one of the ingredients of our liver support. And so it didn't say liver support on it, just said it was a milk thistle. And so the liver, of course, helps us to control all of the toxins that we get out of our body, and so therefore helps us control better health. And so that would be the NECAN liver support. This is some of these are just, I'll just show you what other slides we have that we might use at a later time, and that's what some of these are now, is what happens to our liver and what happens to it with drinking of alcohol. And this is a cirrhosis one over here on the right-hand side. I think that's it. So how can we better motivate ourselves and others, and by teaching them what happens if we don't make changes.
Bruce, last night right before I went to bed, you and I had talked, and I didn't know if you'd be able to get on here this morning, and so right before I went to bed, I found this heart surgeon that speaks out on what really causes heart disease. He's a Dr. Dwight Lundell. Anyway, I was just, reading through it. He has performed 5,000 open heart surgeries, a heart surgeon with 25 years experience. He said, "Today is my day to right the wrong with medical and scientific fact." He basically goes down here. He says the only accepted therapy was prescribing medications to lower cholesterol and a diet that severely restricted fat intake, and the latter, of course, we insisted would lower cholesterol and heart disease. Deviations from these recommendations were considered hearsay and could quite possibly result in milk practice. But he said that wasn't working. We discovered a few years ago that inflammation in the artery wall is the real cause of heart disease, is slowly leading to a paradigm shift in how heart disease and other chronic ailments will be treated.
Wow.
The long-established dietary recommendations have created epidemics of obesity and diabetes, the consequences of which dwarf any historical plague in terms of mortality, human suffering, and dire economic consequences. Despite the fact that 25% of the population takes expensive statin medications, and despite the fact we have reduced the fat content of our diets, more Americans will die this year of heart disease than ever before.
Good grief.
Inflammation is not complicated. It is quite simply your body's natural defense to a foreign invader such as bacteria, toxin, or virus. The cycle of inflammation is perfect in how it protects your body from these bacterial and viral invaders. However, if we chronically expose the body to injury by toxins or foods, the human body was never designed to process, a condition occurs called chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation is just as harmful as acute inflammation is beneficial. Oh, it says,
wow.
What thoughtful person would willfully expose himself repeatedly to foods or other substances that are known to cause injury to the body? Well, smokers perhaps, but at least they made that choice willfully. The rest of us have simply followed the recommended mainstream diet that is low in fat and high in polyunsaturated fats and carbohydrates, not knowing we were causing repeated injury to our blood vessels. This repeated injury creates chronic inflammation leading to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and obesity. This goes on and on, but it says today's mainstream America diet has produced an extreme imbalance of these two fats, the omega-6s. Oh, I have to go backwards. Let's get back to the sweet roll. That innocent-looking goodie not only contains sugars, it's baked in one of many omega-6 oils, such as soybean. Chips and fries are soaked in soybean oil. Processed foods are manufactured with omega-6 oils for longer shelf life. While omega-6s are essential, they are part of every cell membrane controlling what goes on in and out of the cell. They must be the correct balance with the omega-3s. That's what Margaret and I were, you know, trying to get across. We don't need to add any omega-6s. We're getting them. We're getting them. Today's mainstream American diet has produced an extreme imbalance of these fats, and the ratio of imbalance ranges from 15 to 1 to as high as 30 to 1 in favor of omega-6s. That's a tremendous amount of cytokines, I don't know how to say that, causing inflammation. In today's food environment, a 3-to-1 ratio would be optimal and healthy. Goes on to say that it causes, of course, the process that began with a sweet roll turns into a vicious cycle over time that creates heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and finally Alzheimer's disease as the inflammatory process continues unabated. There's no escaping the fact that the more we consume prepared and processed food, the more we trip the inflammation switch little by little each day. The human body cannot process, nor was it designed to consume, foods packed with sugars and soaked in omega-6s. It's almost done here. He said, you guys, you might not like to hear this, animal fat contains less than 20% omega-6 and are much less likely to cause inflammation than the supposedly healthy oils labeled polyunsaturated. Forget the science that's been drummed into your head for decades. The science that saturated fat alone causes heart disease is non-existent. The science that saturated fat raises blood cholesterol is also very weak. Since we know now that cholesterol is not the cause of heart disease, the concern about saturated fat is even more absurd today. Since cholesterol theory led to the no-fat, low-fat recommendations that in turn created the very foods now causing an epidemic of inflammation, mainstream medicine made a terrible mistake when it advised people to avoid saturated fat in favor of foods high in omega-6 fats. We now have an epidemic of arterial inflammation leading to heart disease and other killers. Get back to choose the whole foods your grandmother served and not those your mom turned to as grocery store aisles filled with manufactured foods. By eliminating inflammatory foods and adding essential nutrients from fresh, unprocessed foods, you will reverse years of damage in your arteries and throughout your body from consuming the typical American diet. Now, we can reverse this. I know we can. I've prayed about this so much. And I know we can, Ruth. So encourage Matt. I'm a lot older than he is, and, you know, I'll talk to him anytime, you know that. So.
All right.
He can fix it.
You found a good article there, and I'm really sure that all of that is absolutely true. I like hearing this about the reverse, and I'm glad I got these pictures. What is this site found this at? What's the name of the site, Meredith?
Oh, it's very long. I'll send you the link.
Okay. What's the doctor's name?
His name is Dr. Dwight Lundell, L-U-N-D-E-L-L, Prevent Disease. It's an article he posted on March 1st. Health and wellness. I think I probably ended up here from something I found on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm always looking for something. But, boy, this guy... I mean, he's done 5,000 open-heart surgeries, and today is my day to right the wrong with medical and scientific fact. He said, I freely admit to being wrong. We physicians, with our training, knowledge, and authority, often acquire a rather large ego that tends to make it difficult to admit we're wrong. So here it is. I freely admit to being wrong. 25-year heart surgeon performed over 5,000 open heart surgeries.
And everything he's saying is in agreement with our bottom line, Dr. Blaylock.
Yep.
If that's what Dr. Blaylock is saying as well. He's not as dramatic about it in his writing, but it's all the same. They are in agreement. Neurosurgeon, Dr. Blaylock.
Yep.
Okay. Well. One thing I wanted to do before we close, thank you very much, Mary Lou. That has added very much to our call, as you always do, and all the rest of you do if you have any, when you have some things to say. I want to tell you how to do, if you don't know how to clip and paste, if you go into and find a picture you want, actually that's in the clip art is where I've been getting these. If you find a picture, some of the computers have a little snipper. You can have the little scissors, and you can just go snip them. If you download the snipper, I'm not sure how you have to go. I don't know how you get that snipper, but
it's in Windows 7, Ruth.
Just in Windows 7. I wonder if the rest of them must have something. But in the clip art, if you find a really good, clear picture that makes nice for us to be able to share with, you can just copy it and paste it onto whatever you have. Word, I like Publisher is my favorite, and then of course what we're using here is a PowerPoint. You have to buy PowerPoint to be able to put something into it, but otherwise if you just tell me where it is, I can go and clip and paste it. That will be another way for you to help us find good slides. I still believe that no matter how much we talk, if we have a picture like the one I have on the slide right now, shows the results of a stroke, or if we have information like this doctor is talking about, and then we make something to go with the omega-3s and the omega-6s and what foods get a list under those so that it's visual and people can see it. And then we set goals of where we want to go, and Mary Lou clearly did and got out there and did that walking set of goals that we have, our 10-point perfect day. And then we set the goals of what we personally need to do, the amount of weight that we need to lose and how much we're going to lose a week, and then the food that we're going to eat, so and the parameters of what we're not going to eat, so that and learn how to fix those so that they are as enjoyable as we found them to be, that it will be easier for people to accomplish their health goals. And let that be a goal for us on this call, to be able to support that. And so, amen. tomorrow will be a day where Monty will come on and share, and I will probably be on the call. I think hopefully I will be back home. So you guys think about what we've covered and see what you can find. Everybody can be a detective and find the information that's credible. And then help us have pictures to go with it. If you have find something, and if you want me to do it, put some slides into the presentation, usually I can do that fairly quickly. Even if you show me a couple of slides, it really enhances what we have to say, I think. And then we better show it to others. So have a great day, and I'll go share this good news, especially what Mary Lou said, is this can be reversed.
I just sent you the article. It looks like it's there's a whole bunch of stuff on the sides. I haven't read any of the other thing. I don't know. I just read his article, and before I went to bed, and I knew it was something that we needed to hear this morning. So
yeah, very 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 good conclusion. Especially that part about we can reverse it, especially with somebody as young as Matt, but. Undoubtedly, our brain, you know, they used to say, well, you can't get any new cells and it doesn't reproduce any, but that is not right either. So we can heal our brain. So let's go find more people that need help. Get them to come on our call. If they've got a blood pressure problem, well, we'll be covering those things. We should be asking people what their challenges are, probably, so that maybe we can be sure that we're covering them. By the end of this year, we will have be able to put our slides that I made anyway into a collection and then the things that we can go with them. So if you tell me ahead of time, I really would like to make slides of the things you're covering. So have a great day, you guys, and thanks for joining us.
And thank you, Ruth. It's a great program.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Margaret. Thanks, Monty.
Okay, bye. Thanks. And I sent Monty and Margaret both that article as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Because I tell you, Ruth, I have a problem with my blood pressure. It usually is high, and for the last few days I haven't been real careful about what I was eating. So this morning when I got up, it was like 151 over 88, and so this has been very good for me, and appreciate it. It's very good, very good. And I know now that I need to get back and watch my diet more closely.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Margaret. If anyone on the call that is not on the computer that has wants to share or ask a question? Okay, well, have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.